I think it was Back to the Future 2, what they predicted would happen in 2015 and didn't. Any of you see that? Oh, the rest of you have jobs. Okay, that's great. Well, it was a pretty interesting deal. And whenever you start the new year, we often think about where we've come from and where we're going. How many of you made New Year's resolutions? Go ahead and raise your hand. Everyone, raise your hand if you made. You're just not really motivated, are you? I don't know. I'm not going to waste the rest. We're going to have fun. What we're looking about, though, is really priorities. And we're looking about God's priorities for our lives and how we make them our own and how that really is transformational. It's not something that someone's trying to push on you. And oftentimes we just get the wrong idea about this. How many of you, you're not going to raise your hands, but I'll ask one more time. I'm begging you. No, how many of you would say you get really excited when you get a call like from a bank or some company? No one, right? Because you're sort of, what do you figure they're trying to do? Go ahead, come on. Sell you something, right? That's it. Are you the most polite when you get those calls? Are you just, I just want to let you know how much Jesus loves you? I did something for a while. For a while when telemarketers would call me, I would try to see how long I could keep them on the phone. I'm not kidding, hey, so tell me about your kids and how that's going. I got a call this last week from my bank, and it's sort of funny, the bank says they want to have a relationship with me and all of that. That's sort of weird, but I got a call from the bank, and a guy said, hi, is this Mr. Sigmund? Yeah, I'm calling from the bank, and I think I said something like, oh Lord, please deliver me. I'm like, okay, we make this real quick, and he goes, yeah, your checkbook was left in the parking lot of the bank. And I said, thank you so much for this telephone call. And I totally missed his intentions. Evidently, I own some property in Kazakhstan now, too, which is cool. but I really thought it was something that he wanted from me. And it was really more something he wanted for me. He wanted me to know that, the checkbook it had been found, it was okay. And I just completely misunderstood. And I think that some of the pushback that people have when it comes to understanding God's priorities is, oh, this is not going to be good for me. This is not going to be the best. In fact, some of you learned prayers growing up. Yeah, you learned a couple different prayers, right? You learned the Now I Lay Me Down to Sleep prayer, which is great. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take, which I said before is a really creepy thing to teach a six-year-old. Good night, honey, see you in the morning. But then again, probably not. Who knows? But then there's another prayer you learned, right? Right before and by the way, I didn't raise up I wasn't raised in a religious household. I didn't learn these till later. But learned this, God is great. God is good, and so I thank him for this food. Rub-a-dub-dub, thank God for the grub, amen. Something like that. And what if you would start at that place? God is great. God can do anything he wants to. God, he's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. There's nothing and no one beyond God's reach. And God is good. And when we grasp these two realities, we can head into our future, whether it's building on a great foundation or whether it's rebuilding a broken world, with incredible faith and incredible confidence. See, if God was great but not good, you should fear him. In fact, some of you, that's what you learned about God. That God is great, but he may be good in a certain way, but I'm not sure he wants my good. Others of you learned, you know, hey, God is good and loving. He's sort of like this mystic hippie driving the VW bus down the freeway to Eugene, Oregon. But he really can't make a difference in my life. No, see, God is both great and God is good. And it's from this starting point that we really begin this series. So what I want to do is I want to look at some scripture. And in fact, the first one, let's read this out loud together. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Are you ready? Don't leave me hanging like you usually do. Ready, set, read. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new has here. So we have this promise that if I'm in Christ, I'm a new person. But here's what we try to do is we try to take that old person and improve him a little bit or improve her a little bit. And what God wants to do is to make us a new person from the inside out. And that's what we're going to be looking at in this series, Restart. We're going to be looking at that because that's a great sentiment, right? Is, hey, God's going to do this great work in me. But in the end, what does that really mean? What does that really mean? How does that affect my life? Well, the first question you need to ask yourself is this key question, is where am I headed in my faith? Where am I headed in my faith? Or where am I at? We call this around Timber like our red dot moment. Sort of like when you go to the mall, and I always look for those maps. They still have them in the mall with that little red dot, and it says, you are here. And I look for that because then when I know where I am, then I know how to get where I want to go, which is the exit because I hate malls. And so, but I know where I'm at. It's that red dot moment. We've had red dot moments like that in our life, haven't we? You've had them relationally. Where, and sometimes it's the red dot moment is someone says, I love you, you're the one. And that's either an awesome feeling or an awkward feeling, just depending. Or maybe the red dot moment is, it's over. Maybe it can be a positive or a negative. I remember a red dot moment that I had. I've shared the story where I battled with weight, you know, sort of big and small and in between my whole life, and that's been a constant challenge for me. One time I was speaking, it was at this church, large church where I was a co-pastor down in California, and I'd been there for about a year or so, and in one of the New Year sermons, I was talking about, you know, what it was like when we were first married, and I showed a picture of my wife and I when we were first married, and everyone went, ooh, and ah, and awesome, and then I showed a picture of us today, and literally, this was horrible, they gasped. No, I'm not kidding, and these people loved me. But they're like, this is horrible. I cannot look at it any longer. And it was one of those things that was absolutely, it was embarrassing. But I realized that over the years, through stress, Baskin and Robbins, and Krispy Kreme, I had put on, but it was a beginning, I lost 73 pounds that year. And that was just from sheer embarrassment. But it was one of those moments that was a hard moment, but was a good moment. In fact, one of the things you're going to learn is the biggest progress that you'll make in your life will often be in those very difficult and hard moments. So I go to a gym now, or at least I pay them every month. And one of the things that they do is the gym I go to, Gold's, has this fitness challenge where for $150, they'll torture you for 12 weeks, and it seems like a pretty good deal. I'm down with that. I like the motivation. The only part I don't like is they like to do, you know, all the measurements and the picture beforehand. And I'm like, hey, I've been coming here for years. Do we need to do this? I'll just tell you what I'm at. I'm 6'4", 165 pounds, totally ripped. All you need to know, you know? And they're like, no, Mr. Sigmund, we want the real measurements. And I'm like, hey, I just don't want to be the before photo. But when I take those measurements, then I understand where I'm at. And it's not a judgment to condemn. It's saying, this is where I am. And it helps me know where I've come from. See, oftentimes this is spoken in the negative, especially in church. You know, if you're in religious environments, which is unfortunate, sometimes the most negative people I know can be the, well, you know, look at all